It's time for another great episode of the Ringside Rant with your host from the hills of West Virginia, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, this is RJ.
Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Today's episode is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the world's best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags on the market. With DB's patent hook-up system, you are able to attach the smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. Wherever I go, I always bring my computer and my recording system, so I need a bag, and I go right to DB for that, so you should too. We are teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the promo code POD10 or going to the link in the show notes. DB, it's time to move on. Time to get going.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to go to Mr. McMahon's room.
We have a visitor. A really big fella wants to come see you.
I don't want any visitors. Just my family. I told you. Just my immediate family. I don't want any visitors.
Uh-oh. He's really big, and he's threatening the staff. Uh-oh. He threatened one of the orderlies.
I don't want any damn visitors! I don't want any visitors!
Turn that frown upside down! Vince, it's me!
How did you find me?
I saw what happened. I felt really bad, so I brought you some presents. Take a hold of these. Aren't they colorful? And some candy. I know that you like the sweet stuff. Vinny's got a sweet tooth. Come on, open them up. This is great.
Hold this for me. I'm in a lot of pain.
I know you're in a lot of pain. That's why I brought you these. Those things are delicious. And I'll tell you what, I brought another guest here who really wants to see you bad.
You brought what?
I brought another guest for you. Someone who really wants to see you bad. What?
You brought him.
No. It's not a him. It's a she. I brought you some female entertainment, and I think you know what I mean. She does a trick with a dog that you won't believe. Vince McMahon, say hello to your ball.
Hey, Vinny, how you doing? I came to make you feel better, Vinny. I sure did. Here's a rainbow for you so that you know that there are brighter days ahead. And I'm here to spread nothing but smiles, so I have this wonderful sticker for you. We'll just put it right here, keep it far
show
away from
the trick with the dog. Show him the trick with the dog.
Yeah, don't I gotta
don't
do a dog.
Show
real
me
quick,
any
quick.
Damn
we'll
trick
it.
With a dog.
Oh, yeah, it'll make you feel so much better. You'll just love it, I guarantee you. You sure will.
I don't want
See,
this
I can
candy.
Tell the difference it's making already.
I don't want...
Smiling.
I brought one other visitor, another special guest. What the hell are you doing? Mr. Socko! Say hello to Mr. Socko! Mr. Socko knows you've been feeling mighty bad, so he's gonna give your boo-boo a big kiss!
You're gonna what? Hey, ah! No, Mick, please. Please, just
Mr.
leave.
Mr. Socko!
Please leave, please. Damn it, leave. And take this crap with you. Take it out! Take it all out! Get out! Mr. Socko.
Yeah!
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is everybody's second favorite referee. The one, the only, the very handsome JD Justin Davis. Justin, what's up, bud?
Who's the best referee?
Mike Chioda.
Oh, okay. I was going to say it better not be a fucking rat Earl Hebner or I was going to be.
Oh, man. I think let's rewind it. We'll edit that out.
What's going on, everybody? It's good to be back for another week of Ringside Rant, and we have a fun show today. I actually just got done watching this show this morning, and it was a fun show to go back and watch.
Yeah, it. This was right around the, I don't know about you, Justin, but around the time that I really was a big fan of the business. At this time, I believe I was switching back and forth, watching more WCW Nitro, which will have a little Easter egg at the end of the show about a future next week's show, but we'll get to that at the end of the show. But the business was hot, man. And this Raw was stacked. If you go back and look at the card before we dive into it, dude, from top to bottom, there's one or two, you know, weak points here, but for the most part, man, there's not a bad match on paper. That's the other half of it. You know, they have to, as they say, the bell has to ring.
It was fun to actually go back and remember when Raw was good. There was a time. And this was one of them.
Yeah, it 97 to about 2002, in my eyes anyways, is when Raw was really, really good. But the Raw we're about to talk about, it previewed, I want to get your thoughts on this before we go to the opening contest, but the show opened up with a video package highlighting the iconic Zamboni incident with Austin from the previous Raw, as well as Kane and Taker destroying the left ankle of Mr. McMahon, hence putting him into a medical facility, not a hospital. So they pretty much have set this Raw up pretty substantially as far as video packages, as far as storyline, because in 98 here, that Austin McMahon, I'd say the best feud in wrestling history. Some may argue against that, but it's hitting high gear, man. It's in fourth gear here, and you're about to go 90 degrees. There you go. 90 miles an hour and go back to the future.
Yeah. It's the video package is really good here. It's probably one of the better ones, you know, that you'll see leading into a Raw. They really set this show up really well. It was themed around McMahon being in the medical facility. I almost said the HR. centered around that with really good matches sprinkled all in between. So,
yeah, obviously every Raw, SmackDown, Nitro, Thunder, whatever, it's not going to be perfect. There are going to be let me down matches. There's going to be let me down segments, whatever. But with that, something that's not, doesn't let you down, doesn't let me down, doesn't let our fans down, is Mr. Rich Paladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
Ringside Rant fans, it's the opening contest.
All right, Justin. So this Raw really starts off hot, in my opinion, with D'Lo Brown taking on X-Pac for the European Championship. D'Lo actually won a five-way elimination match the previous week to earn the rematch with X-Pac on this episode of Raw. And then the kind of subplot in this, mind you, is China and Mark Henry, who are at ringside as well. Can you say two of the best workers of all time in D'Lo and X-Pac?
Yeah, I thought this was just a fantastic match to start the show with. I mean, you know, he is a notorious, Xbox is a notorious curtain jerker, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really knows how to start a show off and give a good match, and putting him with D'Lo here is perfect. I really enjoyed this match. I thought that D'Lo was the low-key MVP of this Raw. He makes two appearances, and he just steals the show throughout the whole thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to bring this up later on, but I'll bring it up now. Did you see what the point of this whole Mark Henry China feud was? Because we saw that China was served with legal papers in the middle of the match. Legal papers from Mark Henry, basically accusing her of sexual harassment. Keep in mind that this is during that early phases of sexual chocolate, right?
Yeah.
Now, so
I thought this was fun. I loved when China got the papers and no-sold them. She completely no-sold getting them. She just read them and then just stared at Mark Henry, but she didn't have an expression on her face.
If she was ever good at anything, and she was good at a lot of things, but just no selling shit. She never sold anything. Even when she was with previous to this, when she was with Hunter, she no sold everything. And I think that really started when, like I said, when she was with Hunter, when they had that feud with Goldust and Marlena earlier on. And I would have liked to see some sort of we saw it later on, but some sort of like a mixed tag kind of thing, because you know she's partnered here with X-Pac. You know, a little fantasy booking. We saw it on the show, but maybe get something with Mero and Jackie versus X-Pac and China, or Road Dogg and China, or somebody with China, because I think they really missed the boat with that, because they're trying to play up. We'll dive a little bit more into it, but they're building up a lot more of other things for Jackie at this point.
Yeah. Now I Jackie in this show is awesome too. And like you said, we'll talk about that here in a minute, but she's really an underappreciated talent. She does so much good shit.
Mm-hmm.
She can work. She can, you know, be that person on the outside. She can work in the ring. She can, you know, show those puppies off. She has a lot of. She's versatile.
You're talking Jackie, right? Or you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but we even saw a lot of that stuff even when she was down south there in WCW too, when she was with Kevin Sullivan there. Really got. She got involved even down there when she had that feud with Disco. I just would have liked to see her get a little bit more involved in this. But like I said, we'll touch on that just in a moment before. But D'Lo Brown, his lowdown move. Everybody has a version of the frog splash. Everybody has a different opinion on it, whether it be D'Lo's or RVD's or Eddie's. We go all the way back to Los Gringos with Eddie. I forgot his name. Art Barr. What version of this frog splash? Because it's a very tricky move, because not a lot of people won't understand that, is you have to have your timing pretty damn good on it. Who was your favorite one, D'Lo, or were yours somebody else?
Well, what Eddie and those other guys didn't have is a chest protector. So Eddie or D'Lo wins.
Well, without question. And he has also, yeah, I think D'Lo never got the proper just due, and same with X-Pac too. We'll move on after this statement, but I don't think they really got their just due throughout their whole career as being those workers, because a lot of the times, like you said, they're known for being a curtain jerker. What a lot of people don't know as far as wrestling psychology goes is sometimes you want to be the first match out there, because if you put on a good show, it's basically, hey, beat that, you know?
Yeah. And you get to go to the hotel early.
Oh, exactly. You know, you get room service. You can pull a Hogan. One match that I wish we would have forgotten was this next man. Next one, but I don't really know if you can consider this a match. headbangers come out and just get their asses booed out of the building, which I kind of liked because I was always used to seeing the headbangers getting cheered. But they kind of come out and they want to see, they call out ICP and St. Clown Posse and the Oddities. Man, I don't know, man. I never got ICP. I wasn't down with ICP, I guess you could say. What was your favorite ICP match?
Are you saying you're not a juggalo?
No.
Whoop, whoop.
Fuck this shit.
Apparently they say whoop, whoop a lot.
I guess.
I just know because I've listened to some Howard Stern interviews when they send people to the Insane Clown Posse concerts, and those are quite interesting. Those interviews with those fucked up fans and in the parking lot before the show. But yeah, this was just a let me up kind of dumb shit. I don't know. I did like the Oddities coming out. Every time when I saw them, I smiled. I like Luna with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what a good idea to throw her in there because she's the biggest oddity there is. I mean, I don't know. I just saw them come out and I just wanted to kind of hug them all.
But don't forget Earthquake. There is Golga.
Yeah, John Tenta is
Golga. Oh, rest. God, bless his soul.
The Canadian Earthquake.
Yeah, right. But yeah, we have a listener question in that portion of the show. So we'll dive a little more in depth with that. But I never got them. I don't know if anybody out there ever got this whole thing. I get the association that they had with the Oddities. I get that. But whether they were there to serve a purpose as far as getting the headbangers over, great. If that was the case, fine. I'll shut my mouth. But other than that, we saw them in WCW. We saw them in their own wrestling promotion. I just thought that they're a waste.
Shaggy Too Dope.
Violent J. Violent J. It's just, I could have sworn somewhere I just saw that they were, they stopped touring because they were touring up until recently.
What's your Insane Clown Posse name? Like Two Chains RJ?
Bald McGee.
Well, go literal.
Hey, why not? Why not? But yeah, it's just, we'll move on from that because we can't really transition in any much better than that. But we saw that this Mankind and Vince McMahon, Mr. McMahon segment here in the hospital, they keep on going back and forth between the broadcast from the arena to the hospital room, or excuse me, medical facility room of Mr. McMahon. We're going to play that little snippet of that interview or that segment just after this segment. So you can stay tuned for that. But what were your thoughts on that segment between Mankind and McMahon?
I loved it. And when Miss Lurple or whatever her name was,
Yurple the Clown.
Yurple the Clown. I love that.
That sounds like something that happened at Top Guy Weekend.
Well, there was a lot of clowns there. I know that. But yeah, just the whole thing, man, the whole McMahon thing was a good comedy segment the whole time. Even, you know, at the end when Austin comes in there and McMahon's in his tidy whities and then Austin shoves something up McMahon's ass, you know, good times.
Well, they're just, and like I said, they're just playing on the comedic end of it because they want to continue that feud between McMahon and Austin. And I think you're starting to see really that, that dial being turned up with this episode, with these segments. And I will say, I know there's a lot of opinions out there as far as pure heels in the wrestling business currently in the past. McMahon has to be up there in the top, I'd say the top three of heels of all time.
Well, there's Rick Rude number one. We all know that. Then maybe McMahon.
I was going to go with Baron Corbin personally, but hey, that's me. No, but seriously though, to really have people absolutely despise you, hate you. We can honestly,
how does that feel like, RJ?
It feels pretty goddamn good, to be honest with you. I'm used to it by now. Jesus Christ. But you can even in the early days of the NWO at this time, you could put even Eric Bischoff into that, because when he turned to be the face, not the face, but the associate or the linchpin, whatever you want to call it, of the NWO, he was probably one of the most hated guys at that time.
Yeah, still is.
Well, yeah, but that's with just with JBL and Briscoe, though. Did you see that shit, by the way?
And Bret Hart, don't forget.
Oh, Bret Hart hates everybody.
And the Honky Tonk Man.
Well, the Honky Tonk Man can take a freaking long walk on a short pier. But no, did you see that shit that with JBL and between him and Bischoff?
Yeah.
Online.
Yeah. At least Briscoe's, I like that he's an old dude and he's having fun with Twitter.
But that's the thing. You got so many people, even with JR, you're starting to see him kind of be that old grumpy red ass JR online too. And that pops me anyways, because that's a side of him that you didn't see in the past. Obviously social media when he was back in that day wasn't as prevalent now, but you have to take advantage of that. Not a lot of people do in the wrestling business. A lot of people don't. I don't know why, but they got to. But at this time, we're here in October of 98. What? The rosters are so damn deep. And I know JR briefly touched on this online or on Twitter or online or on one of his shows or whatever. But how deep the rosters were at that time compared to today as well. How deep do you think you think that's a fair assessment between the AEW WWE rosters compared to the WCW and the WWF rosters at that time in 98?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I'd say the rosters now are bigger than these rosters were back then. WCW's was pretty big though, because they had so many like luchas and everybody that you really didn't see every week, but they had a ton of people on the roster. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty similar. I mean, WWE seems to be shrinking by the week.
And then ending up in AEW.
Yeah.
But you know, like you said, with WCW there, you had a lot of those luchas. You had a lot of those guys because they had that working relationship with New Japan as well. Because you get to see guys like Yuji Nagata come over, Gato come over from Japan. You know, we're going to see him later. We saw him previous year in 97 and 98 as well. But you get that working relationship with a lot of these foreign promotions to come in. So it makes that roster even deeper than you really think it did at that time. But the roster in the WWF just was so deep, because you're going to have matches like this next one between Mark Marrow and Vader. Why the hell would you have Mark Marrow pin Vader clean?
Because you're trying to get a lot of heel heat on him, and you're trying to get that rub off of Sable. As soon as I saw Sable come out to be the announcer, I knew Marrow was going over.
Yeah.
Because it's that duel, you know, you're going to get the heat on her, you're going to get the heat on him. And, you know, Jacqueline helps him cheat. He nails Vader in the balls. Mm-hmm. And Vader was kind of going on his way out. Anyways, here at this time on October 5th of 1998, he didn't have a whole lot left in the WWE tank.
Mm-hmm. So, well, do you think obviously Sable's the most over out of these four? Well, the other three people at ringside at this time, right?
Yeah,
and
probably the most over other than Austin and the company.
Oh yeah, and that, I don't, I just. wish they would have flipped this with as far as Sable and China goes, is kind of flip this and have, like I said previous, is have China feud with Jackie, have her get paired up with somebody you don't even have to do anybody else. You can do it with X-Pac. I just was never sold with Sable as far as a talent goes, as a valet, fine, whatever.
I was sold when she had those handprints drawn on her tits. That's
well, I think at that point, every 14-year-old kid at this time did too, but it's just...
I was reaching for the lock on my door, I think, at that point.
Well, the fucked up part is my bedroom door never had a goddamn lock, so it's like, oh, what the fuck? You gotta do the old, hey, let's put the chair underneath the door handle so it stays shut. It's like, what the fuck? What are you doing? Nothing! Leave me alone!
Kids today will never know the chair underneath the door handle trick.
Back in my day. But yeah, was she athletic? Yes. I'll give her that, but I just wish they would have pushed China more. Do you think that they just didn't know what to do with China at this time? And they knew what they were going to do with Sable?
No, I don't. Well, one thing is China really didn't like working with women.
Right.
So, I mean, that was part of that. She didn't want to.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They got China there eventually. She was just kind of becoming more of her on her own than being, you know, just Triple H's lackey, so mm-hmm. to speak.
I just think that Jackie would have complimented her very well, because Jackie's has been in the business for so long. China, yes, China's new in the business. She's green, whatever. But I think that aspect, Jackie could really carry her throughout their feud, because I think with China work, I think she'd probably work obviously better as a face in this aspect going against Jackie, because she's a tough woman, and she could really heal it up against this face China when she was DX here. But short match, man, 4 minutes, just over 4 minutes. We know Vader, like you said, is out after this, but it's just like, I know he's kind of doing the job pretty much after this. Cause I don't, where he ended up going over to Japan after this, right? I think.
Probably. I'm not sure what he
did. I think he was still wrestling after this, but with Jackie, I know we talked about her quite a bit, but do you think that they should have been treating her better at this time instead of just go out and, you know, cut Sable's hair off and, you know, just do whatever you got to do to get over kind of thing? Or do you think they really should have pushed her a little bit more?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you could have done with her really at this point. I mean, women's wrestling, first of all, wasn't a big thing yet. They really rarely did it. They started doing it more, obviously, once Sable got so hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then that opened up to where they would start to use it more and more and more, I think. Mm-hmm. But as far as Jackie, I don't know. I don't really have an answer for what she could have done. I mean, I just feel like she was a good, where she was is kind of where she needed to be at that time. I mean, you know, she wasn't a huge star or anything like that. She's not someone that you're going to just throw into the main event scene somehow.
Right. So we're also going to see right after this, we're going to see a little vignette of Steven Regal, a real man's man, making orange juice by squeezing orange with his hands. And was this just a way of, wait for it. I can't believe I talked over your singing again.
Real man's man.
I'm going to isolate that again, like I did with the last one. That's, but no, seriously.
Music. That's our wrestling with music today.
Yeah, right, really?
He's a man.
Such a man. So Do you think there's just a way of getting him on screen, way to get him in the ring? Did you really dig the whole real man's man gimmick with him?
I kind of did. It was just, it was funny to me.
Yeah.
The music was funny. The whole gimmick was funny.
Because we see him like cutting down trees as a lumberjack, squeezing oranges to make orange juice. And yeah. It's just like, I would have rather preferred to see him, what he was later on, the, you know, strong style British wrestler, all that stuff that we'd come to know him as. But it was just weird seeing him, like, going back and watching it now, knowing what we know now as far as what he'd become. I'm like, you really couldn't have just gone with what he was in WCW. You could have had to rebrand him with a workers' man gimmick kind of thing. Nothing against working men, but
you know what the men up there in Buffalo have to do to prove themselves?
Win football games?
No, they have to jump through a table in the Buffalo Bills parking lot. That's how they prove their manliness in Buffalo.
Hey, first place, man. First place. Can't say that about Cincinnati? Oh, no, yes, Cincinnati's in first place. Yeah, Cincinnati's in first place, too. Everybody else is. Did you say?
Same fucking record, bitch.
Well, come
hey,
on.
You play the Chiefs this week, and we play the Packers. I don't think either one of us have a good route.
I'm still saying Buffalo's going over, man. Not a lot of people are giving them credit. We're going to Arrowhead.
If any of you listeners are going to be in the Natty on Sunday, I will be there cheering the Bengals on to victory against the Green Bay Fudge Packers.
So are they home then? Obviously then?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't think you'd be going to Green Bay, but what the hell?
Hell no. It's too cold up there already.
It's always cold up there.
I will be in the greatest city in the world.
Buffalo?
Cincinnati, watching those Bengals. I will start tailgating at around 10 a.m. So wish me luck.
See, if you're a real fan, you'd be out there for tailgating about 8 o'clock, like the real fans in Buffalo.
Well, I'm not a real fan because I got a 2.5 hour drive to Cincy, and I don't feel like.
Well, okay. Oh, there you go then. it's only driving with an open container if you get caught. Remember?
Sure.
Why not? So next we got the. Edge and Owen Hart match. We saw Owen come, or first off, Edge comes through the crowd. How were you always for these crowd entrances, or were you just okay? It's enough kind of thing. Because this is after the Brood. Keep in mind.
Yeah, I kind of dug it with Edge. I always liked Edge, even at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, Owen was a little upset with himself because in storyline, you know, he hurt another wrestler with the pile driver.
Mm-hmm.
So now he
which way? I think it was what Severn was the week before,
Dan,
right?
Dan Severn. So now he thought, you know, he just can't get the job done anymore. He's going home.
So I didn't really care for it. I got it. I like the promo. I think the promo by him was phenomenal, but as a whole, where would you rank Owen as a promo? I think I know the answer to this, but I figured I might as well ask.
Well, I mean, I don't think Owen's promos were ever bad. I mean, he said some stupid shit like, you know, I kicked his leg out of his leg
in 94. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But overall, I feel like Owen was a solid middle of the road promo, nothing that's gonna set the world on fire, but he could have some funny promos though too. And Bulldog had some good ones.
Well, I think they work so well together, them being Bulldog and Owen, and they just had fun, and I think it definitely did show in their work in the ring and on the microphone, even behind the scenes. You really saw it too.
His slammy acceptance speech ranks right up there as the all-time great acceptance.
Was that in when he dumped the shit on Vader?
Yeah.
Or the water or whatever the hell.
That was one of them.
That was one of them. But yeah, man, I got it, but it's just like, damn, that's one of his better ones walking out of the arena. We see a promotion for here for 10-10-3-2-1.
Yep.
For those listeners that aren't old bastards like us, 10-10-3-2-1 was basically a collect call kind of thing. When you actually had to, you didn't have a quarter, you didn't have a dime, you didn't have whatever to pay for the payphone. You did a 10-10-3-2-1. In 98, who are you calling 10-10-3-2-1? And don't say calling your mama.
I was going to say your mom, probably.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think that was a revolving door at that point, though. So.
Too soon.
Hey, too soon. Hey, if you ever met my mother, you'd know. But anyways,
I'm sorry, Mama, because there's a lot of things I'm sorry about to your mom.
Well, she's got two other boys too, so that's beside the point. Anyways, so we go to the I thought it was one of the low key better matches with Shamrock and Kane here.
Yeah,
Kane was so damn good. His whole career. Not the last couple of years, because obviously they just kind of just threw him out there with Undertaker. Said, let's go, let's see what you can do, but. Through here, through 98, pretty much to his first run there, reinventing himself after he lost his mask, all that stuff. God, he was just so good. Do you think he didn't get the just due as far as the singles titles? Obviously, we saw him as a heavyweight champion later on, but I'm talking here 98 into 2000.
I think at this time he had already won once, though.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying as far as more, though, because he lost it the next night. Because that was the first blood match.
Yeah.
I just thought that he should have won it more. That's me.
Yeah, probably. I don't know how many he has as far as reigns.
Well, I know he had a heavyweight, world heavyweight later on, the big gold later on. But I'm just saying, I think that was just a little too late at that point. I think you should have strapped the rocket to him 98, 99, 2000, because that was when the talent was tops there. And you put a guy like that out there, who the hell is going to beat him?
I think you definitely could have gave him a longer title run there on the first go round instead of one night. Cause he was a big badass, and you know, you could have got him more heel heat.
Mm-hmm.
He was keeping that championship from Austin, and you're giving Austin something to chase more. But they instead chose to go to SummerSlam Highway to Hell with Austin and Undertaker.
Which it wasn't as bad, but I just think Kane is one of the best, if not the best, big men in all of wrestling. Because just some of the shit that he did, he told a story.
I never thought about it, but Undertaker, I wonder if he could have main evented. Was it three SummerSlams in a row? Because he is
Kane or Undertaker?
Undertaker. He main evented in 97 with Brett and 98 with Steve.
What was 90?
I can't remember.
Hold on. Let me Google. See, it was 90s. 96 might have been with like Sid or Diesel. No, it wouldn't have been Diesel.
It would have been Michaels.
It would have been Michaels. So let's see here. Because he would have had. Oh, what the hell did I? Oh, SummerSlam. I typed in. Yes. I cannot type today, dude. Seriously, I don't know what it is. Whether it's I got one more day of work and then I'm off all next week, so I'm already on vacation already. And then I think Dave and the QC just had his like sixth vacation of the week, so I got to catch up to him. So he didn't main event the SummerSlam in '96. That was Vader and sure. Michaels.
What about '99? That's what I was wondering.
Undertaker, it was the Boiler Room Brawl. So you can kind of consider that semi-main event because it was him and Mankind.
Yeah.
Of you said 97 he did that. 98 he did with Austin. 99. I don't think he wasn't there. Oh no, he was tagging with Big Show. It was Big Show and Undertaker. Defeating Kane and X-Pac for the tag team titles. They were the unholy alliance with the Big Show and Undertaker.
That's a massive tag team right there.
Well, but and you can even see that Big Show just tagged with fucking everybody at this time because they never knew what the fuck to do with them.
Yeah.
Jared Show. They had Show Miz. And then he tagged with Kane too, I think, later on. Like way late, like mid 2000s there. But it just Undertaker, it looked like he was to cost Kane the match here against Shamrock, like Kane did the previous week to Undertaker. So they're really setting up this potential feud between Kane and Undertaker, trying to, in the future anyways. But obviously hindsight being what we know now, obviously we know what would happen with that. But with Undertaker and Kane here, they're basically setting it up as far as later in the show, with Undertaker taking on The Rock. Spoiler alert if you don't know. But
that's the thing about this show. Everything made sense. Everything was connected to the other. You know, everything was going where it should have went. It just, they don't do that shit anymore.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they keep on going back to the promo from last week with Austin. That iconic scene, another iconic scene, being him taken out in handcuffs from last week, being taken out by the police, talking to the, you know, doing the Austin shit. So I just, I just forgot how much iconic vignettes, commercials, promos, whatever were on this Raw in general that would set up WWF for probably the next decade. Iconic things, but something that really I didn't think was that iconic was this Gangrel and Valvinus match. Gangrel is coming out with Christian. They just disbanded the Brood. Basically, the main storyline here is the whole Marlena, Venus, and Goldust saga. But like I said, the secondary storyline to this was Edge confronting his brother, quote unquote, Christian, which was basically be Gangrel's newest partner. Obviously, we know Christian and Edge would make history as a tag team later on, but not at this time. They're still trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do with these guys. So pretty much Edge notices Christian out there, slides out, Gangrel slides out to the bottom rope and basically attacks Edge, and they both basically take out Edge, causing the count out as Gangrel, Venus wins, all that shit. So they're continuing
out there with Marlena.
Right. And they're continuing storylines with that. That's what I liked about this. It proved there was a point to it. Like you said, every match here had a point, had a purpose. And this was one of them.
Yeah. Where was this show at? I forget. Was it in?
This was Oak in LA? East Lansing, Michigan.
No, it was in Michigan. And that's when Val Venus said, I heard Magic Johnson used to play here. I got a Magic Johnson for you.
I forgot to say that. I'm like, oh, man. But that's the thing. Where are you on Val Venus as overall, as a character, as a wrestler?
I dug it back then. I dig it now. I love it
because he was trained by the same guy as Christian and Edge and Gangrel. Test came down. Just that a lot of people talk about the Dr. Tom class with Rock and all that down in. What was that, Kentucky, right? That was OVW, yeah. I want to say. Anyway, but you still have that Canadian aspect of it. We have Edge, Christian, Gangrel. I don't know if Gangrel is Canadian, but that class. Lance Storm was in that. So this time, it's just a talent was unreal. And to get back to this match is after the match, they get counted out, blah, blah, blah. You see an usher coming down dressed in gold, handing Venus a gold note. So it's like, oh man, what the fuck's going
really
on with this?
One of the best parts of the show.
And then all of a sudden you hear Goldust's music hit, like you heard last week in Wrestling with Music. And the Bizarre One announces that he's returning next week to Raw, to the shock of Val Venus and Terry, Marlena. I want to call her Terry. Terry Runnels, whatever.
We get gold glitter coming down
from the top. I think that this is, the time that Goldust was the most over. 98, 97 was his time. And
he had been gone for a little while, I guess. So this was his.
Was he in rehab at this time? Or did he go, was he hurt or something? Because I know he had issues at the, I know he had out of the ring issues at this time, but I didn't know if it was a matter of, you know, crossing over as far as rehab or injury or whatever.
Yeah. It was just, it was something cool to put on Raw though.
Right.
Like, I don't know. It just was very different. I liked it. I liked that whole, the bizarre one returning.
Mm-hmm.
To scare the shit out of Val Venus. Oh, and if anyone is going to calm that Magic Johnson down, it's Goldust. He'll slap it. He don't fucking care.
coming to ProWrestlingTees.com. Anyways, so...
That's the definition of a slap dick.
Literally. Yeah. So we get Al Snow and J-E-F-F-J-A... Double R E double T coming out. Ain't he great? So Snow is reinstated for this match after defeating then WWF Commissioner Sergeant Slaughter in a boot camp match. I just thought that this was a fun match, man. Just a fast paced, kind of brings it back to the kind of the old ECW stuff. But as Snow climbs to the turnbuckle, he basically gets crotched by Snow. And the referee calls a bell. Al Snow wins by DQ, blah, blah, blah. Where did you see that there was any point to this? Al Snow basically, I don't think he's another one of those guys that never got his just due in the company. You can watch any of his stuff. Go back and watch his stuff in ECW. With Shane Douglas for the title. Unbelievable stuff. Here it's like, okay, now he's more of a comedic kind of thing.
You're forgetting his run as the New Rockers.
Excuse me. Leaf Cassidy got over. Al Snow didn't.
Well, Head got over, and like it always does.
Oh, Head always gets over. And you could take that to the
Even
bank.
You're a big bald one.
Jesus fucking Christ. So we'll move on to that. Let's skip over this next tag match so we can get to this main event. So we can get to some listeners' questions. But you can either take it or leave this next match. D'Lo Brown and Road Dogg defeated Mark Henry. Mark Henry was with D'Lo. X-Pac in China was with Road Dogg. You can take it or leave it. Go back. You can take it or leave it. We'll leave it at that. Main event, Undertaker versus The Rock. Why was The Rock the real leader of the Nation of Domination?
Well, he was the leader at this time. I think
he was old, but I'm just saying in general.
Yeah. I don't know. It was that charisma. You know, even when Farouk was there, everyone was kind of looking at The Rock while Farouk was talking.
Yeah. Well, but that's the thing. When you have so much talent, and not to discredit Farouk Ron Simmons, but when you have so much talent behind him with Rock, D'Lo, Godfather, Godfather, whatever, and then and Mark Henry, but it's just The Rock was just so goddamn good, and this was basically a pay-per-view caliber main event for sure, right?
Oh yeah, I mean that's what I mean. This show from top to bottom, it really had some of these matches, like the opening match is a pay-per-view caliber opening
right.
match. This is a pay-per-view caliber. On any pay-per-view main event. You know, just what can you say about it? It was good. It was damn good, really. I like the match. I just like this whole show. After the match, we go back to the Vince thing, which is just fucking fantastic.
Well, like I said, it just sets up everything so well. Just from, like you said, from top to bottom, it didn't matter where you were on the card at this time. Just the talent was so fucking good. But we saw that the Undertaker would defeat The Rock, hits him with a tombstone on the steel chair for a win. Referees knocked out, Bob, the same usual shenanigans. But it just looking back on it, so many people forget about this Raw and how iconic it was just for the business in general. And it was just unreal to go back and watch it now. I watch it probably about two or three times myself just so I can just take it in.
Yeah, and the announcing was great on it, of course. You got JR and King in their prime together.
Mm-hmm.
They were just on up top of everything. Knew where everything was going. They knew how to sell the storylines. It was just really good shit, pal.
Pretty much. So, some other good shit, pal, is Mr. Rich Paladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
Oh, he's still in a lot of pain. Is that the head nurse? Vince, can you hear us?
He doesn't take this thing.
Guess not. Couple more seconds. And we're on ignore.
Last time it was normal. You're going to find it's normal this time.
We'll see.
Every time you've taken it, you've found that it's normal. Every single time.
Yes, Mr. McMahon, it'll be all right. Almost done.
I can't wait to get out of here.
There.
Is it normal?
Yes, it looks real good.
Yeah,
it's real good. Looks just fine to me. How about you, doctor?
Oh, I'll take it from here, nurse.
No, no! No! No, no!
It's listener questions.
All right, Justin. So it's time for some listener questions this week. We got a couple new ones this week, as well as the Money Mike himself, as well as the devilish one. So we're going to start off with a new question asker person, if you will. Pender J wants to know, do you think with the money WWE has or had at that time, they should or could have tried to get the F back or get the F back?
That's a unique question.
Yeah, he asked this to me. He DM'd me on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. And he's like, dude, I don't know if this is really going to pertain to the show, but I'm like, dude, this is going to be great. It'll get us off track a little bit possibly, but we'll bring it back.
I don't know if the F was for sale.
Yeah. Cause that was a World Wildlife. Cause that was still at this time, but even now it's like, okay, it's just, if they change their aspects, it changed the product where they're more wrestling oriented, then fine. But I think at this time, currently, even previous to it, I don't think it really would have mattered because World Wrestling Federation would only pertain to the company if there were an actual wrestling promotion. And they've come out and said, hey, we're sports entertainment.
I'm surprised they still have wrestling in their name.
Right, exactly.
But they haven't changed that yet.
Well, they don't have. Well, it's getting better. It's getting better, sort of. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but you think? But do you think they really should bring that back though?
The F.
Yeah.
No.
Keep it out.
Everyone's so used to WWE now.
Yeah.
I think it would be almost weird going back at this point.
It would be like when it went from F to E, it's like, okay, well, we don't want to get like a cease and desist order or something. So we got to say WWE, not WWF. Yeah. I still have people that'll slip up and say WWF still too, that haven't, those lapsed fans that haven't watched or whatever.
The F out, Pender J.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I tried, man. Justin's giving me shit this week as usual. So, and speaking of shit this week, Money Mike's up next. And I actually had
my cat was the one booing back there. She heard Money Mike's name.
Uh oh. Hey, as long as it's not Owen, who cares, right?
Well, when Owen meets Money Mike, I'm going to teach him to piss on Money Mike's leg, but that's a whole other story. What's he got this week?
Oh, jeez. Well, I actually had to make a whole actual like a Word document for just his questions this week.
Because there's one of those nine sentence long questions.
It was actually, it was 9.5 actually. But anyways, we'll go with the shorter ones first for you, just so you don't kind of veer off the road a little bit. But his Money Mike's first question, he has three, is, of course, which Mankind promo do you believe was more pivotal in his career, the debut of Mr. Sacco here on Raw or the sit-down interview he had with Jim Ross?
These questions from Money Mike. I'd like to take Mr. Sacco and wrap it around Money Mike's neck and hang him up by something.
God damn, listen, that's a little dark, man. Jesus Christ.
Listen, Money Mike. The interview with Jim Ross was the most pivotal. That's no doubt about it. It got Mankind over, really, with the fans, hugely for the first time.
Well, I tend to agree at both sides of it, where the sit down with Jim Ross was pivotal, yes, but this was that 98, his original Mankind character, that kind of deranged son of a bitch, was kind of getting, in my eyes, was kind of getting stale, getting old. They had to really turn the corner. He had to turn the corner a little bit and try to reinvent himself a little bit.
Well,
and that's
also, once he got thrown off the cage,
it knocked something loose.
He became a baby face.
Right. So they had to kind of turn around a little bit and try to play to that a little bit, because then we'd see.
But I'd say that cage had more with him getting over as a baby face than Mr.
Right.
Sacco.
Right. But it just now it's like, now it's all about marketing, man. Mr. Sacco. Who would have thought a fucking Sacco would have gotten over?
I like when he gets Mr. Sacco out and Vince goes. Or when they leave and Vince is just sitting there by himself, Mr.
Sock. But that's the thing. That's those little things that people don't give McMahon credit for. It's just little things that he says or does.
Dude, he should have got a fucking Grammy for this whole medical facilities.
Or a Slammy at least.
A Slammy for sure.
And then he could have been up there with Owen as far as a Slammy award winner.
What else does a slapdick have to?
So his second question, I'm going to try to do this in one breath, but it may not happen. excuse me. I'm ready to get choked up with these questions. Do you believe the scene could have been reframed where Vince got to the hospital medical facility visit from all three faces of Foley instead of just Mankind? Do you feel this would have added some additional value to the scene or made it more cluttered?
More cluttered, like Money Mike's fucking brain and his office.
Didn't he clean his office up?
No, he needs to clean up his questions too. Because, I mean, do you think we got enough time to go back to 80 different segments with the three faces of Foley and still get these matches in, Mike?
I think we could.
I'm about to bang my head up against the wall.
Well, you can't. You got to drive. Hey, kid, you got to drive an hour to go fucking to work, right? Shit, you can't. Quiet Riot, right?
I think so.
Which is basically what's inside your head right now. It's a quiet riot after listening to these questions. So yeah, I think it would have been interesting. I think it could have done it, but I don't think. Did they introduce the other two faces yet, or was this just Mankind?
Yeah, I think
it was Dude Love was later on here in 98.
We've introduced Dude Love through that interview with Jim Ross. I
mean, that's right. But we haven't seen Cactus Jack. Cactus Jack we would have seen in 99, I believe, with Triple H there.
Yeah.
So it could have worked. I still agree with you, Jess. I think it would have been a little bit more cluttered, you know. Keep it simple. You know,
stupid. That's for you, Money Mike. Keep it
Jesus.
Stupid.
Why are you so goddamn hostile towards Money Mike? He is a value listener of this show, and you shit on him every week. I'm trying to stick up for him.
Well, keep trying.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying anyways.
I'll keep shitting.
Well, you'll keep bad shitting on me either way, but what the fuck? His last And final question, maybe final question ever, if you keep on shitting on him, is as follows. This portion of 1998 was very backstage and segment oriented with skits such as the hospital medical facility and Vince McMahon's Corvette. Do you believe these moments being geared more for the viewers at home as opposed to the life, live audience in the arena who was watching them on the Titantron was fair to the fans in attendance? Should more effort have been put into storyline during this in-ring matches? So basically, did you like all this portion of 98 with all the backstage segments and skits and shit?
Yeah. I mean, don't you think if you was in that live crowd and that McMahon shit was on the Jumbotron, you'd be entertained by it?
I think so. But even that stuff, it's just, you have to, if it was something different, if it was something that didn't play into these storylines, then I would have shit all over it. Like the shit they saw in WCW was fucking garbage. This stuff here was absolutely brilliant because I think they saw what was going on in the other channel. Said, hey, we're not going to do anything like that because that's bullshit. All this NWO stuff, whatever. I think this was their alternative to the NWO, where you had the NWO shit versus the McMahon Austin stuff, which I think it's clear that WWF won that one, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think that if there were some segments in there were absolute dog shit, but for the most part, the majority of these, like Mike said, between the medical facility skits here, as well as the Corvette, as far as the shit with the DX and the McMahons and the ministry and corporate ministry and all that stuff, it worked. But like I said, if it was other shit like that, I don't think it would have worked if it was anything other than that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just where the business was going. Mm-hmm. If, you know, people that are there are mostly hardcore fans anyways. They're going to be entertained by that shit. I think we put too much into that. If something happens that don't happen in the ring, then it's unfair to the fans that are there. I think we put too much talk into that type of thinking. They see the same shit we do, right? If they see it on the Jumbotron. It's different. I mean, if you just watch match after match after match after match in the ring, I mean, is that good? I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, I think it just gets repetitive after that. After that is because you see match after match after match, and I think you got to have it a little bit different. And I think as much as they say they didn't, they really did watch WCW and see what the hell they were doing, because I think WCW was more wrestling oriented than obviously than WWF. And they did a lot more of that, of the wrestling in the ring instead of the segments. But yeah, I just think that at this time it was better because everybody got to see it. People at home, people in attendance still got to see it because they played it on the Jumbotrons the Titantrons. So I will thank you, Michael, for asking your three questions. Justin will probably just shit on you anyways, so I'm just going to move on. So our next set of questions comes from the devilish one himself, Devin Dowling. His first question is not a question. He says he wishes he was Val Venus. So I agree with you on that.
I don't know. You know how Val ended up with the choppy choppy on the pee-pee.
Well, and now he's got his online CBD company, right? So I think he did all right for himself. So his one of two questions now is, do you guys think that Vader still had some left in the tank? He says he thinks he thinks him versus Mara was pretty good, though.
I agree. I liked that match.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on with Vader around this time. This is around the time where he gave the "I'm just a fat piece of shit" promo.
Right.
It's still kind of entertaining to watch to this day, but I don't know. They were definitely soured on Vader after the whole Shawn Michaels thing.
Which was 1996, yeah.
And then he kind of had some injuries here and there that kind of shelved him He just never really got going in WWE, which sucked because I, to this day, am such a huge Vader fan. I got to meet him one time, which was really cool.
Really? Where was that? Was that out by you?
Yeah, I was working at a Damon's in college, and he was. It was connected to a hotel. He was staying in the hotel, so he came down. And I served him some Coors Light bottles with raw eggs dropped down in there.
Really?
And his fucking hand was gigantic. I shook his hand, and it just...
disappeared.
Was gone. But yeah, he was a really nice guy. But Vader is definitely one of the all-time great big men. I mean, I love Vader, so it would have been cool, but I don't know that he had a whole lot left right now in this period or not.
No, I think he basically was, you kind of saw you saw the writing on the wall at that point. This isn't the Vader that we saw in the early 90s in WCW facing Ric Flair, Steamboat, Rick Rude. You didn't see that stuff with him with Harley Race. He was, I don't want to say he was broken down, but he was pretty much there. He was done. He was ready to go. And I just wish that they would have done a little bit more with him. I think they pretty much said, hey, we want you to put over some guys. And I think he said, okay. Well, he saw the writing on the wall too. He said, okay, fine, whatever. You're still paying me, right?
Yep.
But Devin's final question is, are you surprised by how over Mr. Sacco got from this debut here?
Mr. Sacco. I don't know. It was just, I love the clown. I love the whole... Didn't they bring Vince chocolates too?
Yeah, it was like one of those little heart things, and he got a sticker. He got a pretty thing that they kind of instituted,
have a nice day.
Have a nice day kind of thing. Because it was with the
I just feel like that was smiley. That was a rib joke anyways, bringing Vince chocolates, because you know Vince don't... Goddamn, pal, I don't eat fucking chocolate.
My body's
a temple.
God, I got grapefruits between my legs. But no, I was surprised a little bit going back and seeing it now, how over that it got. And I think it's even to this day, you're still going to these, he's still doing these conventions. And he's selling the fucking socks, man.
Mr. Sacco still going to conventions.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know, but I don't think he has the original one. Does he?
I heard that Mr. Sacco and, that what's that little dog that was on Conan's show?
Oh, I don't fucking know.
the insult dog, something.
No, because wasn't it Eminem that did the voice for it?
No, this was before Eminem.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, yeah, I heard Mr. Sacco and Triumph, the insult dog.
That's what it was. Yeah,
we're best friends, and they're still making the rounds together on the.
Well, of course. Of course, why not? All right. So, thank you for those questions, Devin. Our next question comes from one of our loyal listeners, Coach Rosie. He said, asked, what effect, positive or negative, do you think the Insane Clown Posse added to this show?
I feel like Coach Rosie's a juggalo.
Oh, by far.
No doubt about it.
I think he's got his, I got to ask him. I got to message him and say, hey, do you still have your juggalo ID on you? So I think we briefly touched on this briefly when we were talking about it, but I think there was two sides of it. Negative was basically it was a filler. They had no purpose here. But the positive thing is, though, I think they got the Headbangers over a little bit as heels. And they even, honestly, they probably even got the Oddities over a little bit as faces, too. So I think they added a little bit to the show. But I think for the most part, it was pretty much shit.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I just never was a fan of them in wrestling. It's fine that they, you know, their music, people like that stuff. I'm not the biggest fan of their music either. But I don't know. They just always felt like singers or whatever that were trying to play wrestler.
And well, I just
never liked it.
I always thought their music was a Beastie Boys ripoff.
Oh, you're gonna get attacked by a group of juggalos. You keep it up.
I don't give a fuck. Come at me. What are you gonna get? I got the Bills Mafia behind me. Fuck them.
You don't want to fuck with the juggalos.
I don't give a shit. Well, whatever. They're probably all like 60 years old now.
All of Rochester, if they they want to.
Okay. Give it time. Did you see the fucking side note when AEW was here in Rochester for Dynamite and Rampage? The Young Bucks had their cars broken into as well as the Gun Club and had their shit stolen. Or not, excuse me, the Gun Club had their shit stolen and thrown all over the street. I'm like, okay, that's just making Rochester look even more better. But anyways, we'll move on. Thanks for that question, Coach. And our final question comes from Denobius Mac. So we hope you are doing well, sir.
Denobius Mac.
And we're going to, I'm going to isolate that and send it to him. He asked, do you think Owen forfeiting the match played well into storyline he was going into? Why would they call for him to forfeit here instead of letting him get pinned?
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember what storyline he went into directly after.
Wasn't this the Nugget?
Oh, was it?
Enough I'm pretty enough. Sure this was
enough
the Nugget.
Enough and it's time for a change.
Yeah, I think the Nugget. I think they're going into that at this point because yeah. he would start tagging with Jeff Jarrett, I believe.
Well, didn't he get? He got into the Nation.
No, he got into the Nation. That's what it was. Okay, I thought this was previous to that. Okay, yeah. That was my bad. Yeah.
And that's enough, and it's time for a change. No, I don't know. I think it kind of did make sense to where he was just trying to say, you know, he's fed up with all the bullshit, so he's just leaving.
Yeah.
So, I think it worked out right.
No, and I think it did too. I think it still served a purpose. I think it's very hard for Owen at that time, in general, to not get over. One of the best workers of all time. Everybody knows your opinion, obviously, on Owen because you're like the seventh heart kid or eighth heart kid or however many 28th heart kid, whatever. But yeah, it served a purpose. Owen would have made it work regardless because Owen was somebody that wouldn't, he said no sometimes. So I think to certain things, but for the most part, he said, okay, let's go with it. If it's best for business, I'll do it. So I think it worked really pretty much at the end there. But, well, thank you for that question, Denobius. But with that being said, Justin, we're going to send it up to the truck right now to those monkeys over there and hit that lovely, lovely lead-in to Wrestling with Music.
I want to get musical.
All right, Justin. So we got two more entries into the Wrestling with Music listing. I'm going to briefly run down it. 1-14 now, Justin. Leading the pack right now is Stone Cold Steve Austin, then NWO, Undertaker, Bret Hart, Jake the Snake Roberts, The Four Horsemen, Rowdy Roddy Piper, Rick Rude, The British Bulldog, Ricky Steamboat, Shawn Michaels, Owen Hart as The Rocket, Gold Dust, and certainly least Hulk Hogan, WCW. So hopefully this week, the magic of editing actually basically covered my ass last week. I forgot to actually share the actual screen the proper way with Justin last week. So
we also got heat last week from Miss Amy. She was a little pissed off at
Gold Dust
got ranked down so low.
Well, not as low as Hogan. So at least you got to give us some credit, Amy. But we appreciate that anyways. I'm like, oh, that's gonna be bad. But anyway, who knows what's going to go forward? Maybe we'll have another Dustin Reynolds theme on this episode soon. But with that being said, Justin, we're going to go with yours first. Do you want to chat about it first? Or you want me to just hit the music?
Well, yeah, I'll just say that this music is... This group was kind of a short-lived group and not too many people, you know, think back at this time and think of the Brood, but their music, man, is top-notch for sure. So let's hit it.
right, Justin. So probably one of the most iconic themes, I think, of this era is a lot of people will put this on their playlist, I think.
Yeah, it kind of, and it just goes so well with their gimmick. I mean, you could see that song in the background of like a vampire movie. Like, I don't know, it just fits their gimmick so well. I've always liked that song, even back then. Thought it was really cool, their entrance when they would come up from underneath the entryway there, and the smoke would come up with them, and they would come up from underneath with this music blaring, man. They had a really, really cool look and a cool entrance, the Brood, when it was all three of them, really.
All right, so where are we going to rank them? I would tend to put them up. I'd say I'd put them right about between the Horsemen and Roddy Piper, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I could put it right in front of Piper. That's kind of where I was thinking, too.
Yeah. See, great minds think alike. A little bit higher than Goldust, so we're sorry about that, Amy. But so
Goldust bias going on,
right? Yeah, yeah, right. Oh, God, I'm sure we'll get crap for that again. But so my what I'm bringing to the table this week is going to be probably legitimately one of the low key better themes at this time was. The Big Red Machine himself. This was one of the original ones, Justin. The original one when he came in, I believe, 97 now. So without further ado, I'm going to play that for you right now. So we're going to stop it there, Justin. I really think that that's one of the more iconic themes, man. I really do. It may not be as high as some, but if you think about it, when that the organ started playing, you know shit was about to fucking happen. Shit was going to hit the fan here. Somebody was going to get their fucking ass kicked. So I would even put Kane... Shit, I hate to do it, but I would even put him up towards between Jake Roberts and the Horseman there at 5.
Okay, where did we put the Brood?
At 7.
Okay, who, and Piper's behind them?
Correct.
And who's behind Piper?
Rude.
Who's behind Rude?
Bulldog.
I'd put him there between Rude and Bulldog.
All right, I'll
can slide him up a little bit. Great song, and it's it's good. Once again, it goes really well with the character. I just don't know if it's as remembered as some of the others.
No, I get you. I'm not gonna shit on that. That's for damn sure. But, so I'll actually start posting that up now. I posted them last week, so we'll go over that.
16 strong now.
16 strong, man. We're
got a lot to go. The funny thing is, when I brought this idea up to RJ a long time ago, he said, "Man, I think we're gonna run out of songs." No. I was like, "Nah, we'll be able to roll a long time.
We'll be good." But we appreciate each and every one of you listening this week. Justin, we have a big show coming up next week. We're going to stray away from the normal every week segments. We're going to bring in two guys from the bullpen this next week. We're going to do a watch along with none other than everybody's favorite sexy boy, Mr. Frank Bruno, as well as, I don't even know what to call him. Everybody's favorite guy, Mike Kolb. I don't know. Everybody's
favorite dude that lives
somewhere. I'm sorry. But anyways, no, we are going to be bringing in Mike Kolb and Frank Bruno to do a watch along of the May 18th, 1998 edition of Monday Nitro. It was one of those, it was a shorter episode, so it's going to be definitely be good to break it down, have somebody else come in and, you know, kind of just shoot the shit. Hopefully it won't bore you guys too much.
And what'll be cool about this is those guys are coming on to, I think they want to kind of promote Top Guy Theater a little bit, but also,
yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Also Frank was at that show in, at Nitro. So it'll be cool to get a firsthand viewpoint from someone that was there.
I believe it was from Providence, Rhode Island. So, but with that being said, make sure that you follow us across your social medias, especially on Twitter at underscore ringside rant. He is at JD2040. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your great podcasts. Thanks to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Network, Visionaries Global Media, Wrestling with Johnners, as well as Full Press Coverage for allowing us on your great, great networks. Check us out as well over at ringsiderant.wealth4apparel.com to check out this great shirt that I am wearing right now. You guys can't see it, but Justin can.
I have a question.
Sure.
Who, what won your poll on when does the weekend start?
You won that poll.
Of course
poll.
I won.
Of course
we
you
all
did.
Know the weekend starts on Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. And if God you're listening to this, it's Friday day, which is the weekday, which means in a few hours, it'll be the weekend.
God damn you. Anyways, we can't get much better than this. But Justin, do you have anything you want to talk about before we close shop tonight?
No, just who day, baby.
And as always, Mount Up Bills Mafia.